when I consider the great man Job and some of the things that he had to go through and the attitude that he had and what was said about him. In Job 1, in verse number 8, God said something about Job that's worthy of our consideration. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, an upright man, one who reverences God and hates evil?" Powerful compliment from the mouth of God himself. We understand some of the narrative as it relates to the battle that was between God and the devil. And Job is going to be right in the middle of it. But I find it interesting that Job was considered. And of course, over the years, you hear great preachers, and they would challenge those who were listening, could you put your name in that consideration? Could God consider you as one in this category? Of course, you consider the narrative, and the devil is at work, strips Job of his possessions, his family, his livelihood. And next thing you know, he goes back to God, and God says, "You can do whatever you want, just don't kill him." And so Satan takes Job to the very point of death. I find that interesting because even in the midst of that, we find Job's friends who were in silence. And immediately, after the silence is broken, we find Job, and he is cursing the day that he was born. It happens. But something interesting about these friends who were so-called friends, it seems as if they didn't have trust that he was that man that God said he was. In Job 16:2, we find something interesting as well. Job calls his friends miserable comforters. I want to challenge us not to be miserable comforters to our brethren. Heard it once said, and I quote old people all the time because that's what I have been around. If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say anything. Those old sayings, I tell you, used to work. Maybe we need to get back to some of those old sayings. Anyway, when we consider some of the things that the friends were doing, if you consider chapter 26, in chapter 26, Job is actually answering Bildad because Bildad accused Job of some things. And I love the series of questions that Job asked Bildad. In verse 2, "How have you helped? How have you saved?" Of course, there's more to the question. Verse 3, "How have you counseled? How have you declared? To whom have you uttered words, and whose spirit came from you? How do you know? How do you know what I'm going through?" Even Job didn't know what he was going through. How did they know? They assumed. They assumed that Job sinned. They assumed that he was dead wrong. So in chapter 28, Job is pretty much done with his friends as it relates to having any type of intelligent dialogue, if you will, because there was no intelligent dialogue. There comes a time in which you have to leave people because the dialogue is just not rational. His friends were not rational. And so he turns his attention toward Jehovah. But the problem with this is here is a man that was in constant communication with God. He listened to the wisdom of God. He lived according to the will of God. God acknowledged that. And it seems as if God abandoned him. It seems as if God was not talking to him. It seems as if God kind of threw Job away. But one thing we know, according to Hebrews chapter 13, that God will never leave those who are faithful nor forsake them. Friends, you can take that to the bank. God will never leave you. Even though it may seem as if God is nowhere to be found, he's there. You stay faithful. You continue to do what you're doing. That is what is right. I was privileged to have to study chapter 31 and present a lesson on it on last night in San Antonio. And there's so much in this that I could not help but have a newfound respect for Job and a less profound respect for myself, because he was definitely a man who was blameless, upright. And even though he was weak because he was worn down by his friends and worn down by Satan, even perhaps God had left him in his mind, he stood fast. Friends, he stood fast. And so I just have one thing I want to say, because I'm not going to deal with none of that. But Job, in Job 13 and verse number 15, Job said, though he slay me, Brother Royce, yet will I trust him. He didn't know that it was the devil doing this. He thought it was God doing this. It wasn't God doing it. God was allowing it. It was Satan. Job 19, 25. I know that my Redeemer lives. Friends, if we can just continue to have that mentality and know that if we're doing what is right and things happen that are adverse to our lives, you have to just be content that you are doing what is right. And whatever comes your way, let it come. But if you're doing what is wrong, if you're doing that which is not wise according to the will of God, then you need to make those corrections. But if you're doing what is right according to the will of God, not your understanding, but God's understanding, then you have the proper attitude and you keep your head toward the Christ. And it's okay to suffer a little bit, even when it seems like things are not right. And so I just want to encourage us tonight that we can learn so much from Job. And if you go to the book of James, Brother Hall, God restores him everything that he lost and then some. And he was even to see four generations. God blessed him. And God is going to bless us. It may not be on this time side, but friends, there is an eternity waiting for us. According to Revelation 21, it's a new heavens and a new earth. Old things have passed away. We'll be in the face of God, Revelation 22, 3-5, and we'll live with him throughout eternity. So it doesn't matter what comes our way. If Job can make it, we can make it. If he can get through it, we can get through it. He didn't know who his enemy was. We know who our enemy is. We win. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. I want you to consider the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, the Lord's church, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, Acts 8 and verse 12, Matthew 28, Mark 16, 15 and 16. So many other passages that we can go to. But believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water, and God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for everything you've done wrong. Add you to his son's church. You'll have a family now that is in Christ. That family that God is going to send his son back for. Maybe you're a child of God and you've lost focus. Or maybe you're getting worn down. It happens even to the best of us. Doesn't mean that we've done something wrong. Doesn't mean that we have sinned against God. Why not just go through the struggle? And then when you get to the other side, in the midst of giving thanks, even in the midst of the storm, God will say, that's my faithful servant. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.